Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Bunching. My name is Natalie.
Christy Herwell.
And we're going to be covering Severance Season 2, Episode 6, Attila.
As in the Hun. And there's way too much explanation about this later in this episode that I don't think we're really going to cover that much. But yes, we are covering this. We have disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers for this episode. Come on, y'all. Let's watch some Severance and talk about it. Speaking of which, we do have an email.
Yes. BuzzBinging@gmail.com. Please let us know your thoughts. Please.
Please. I mean, we're now trying to get more creative with our drinks, so maybe, like...
Yeah, send us some drink recipes if you want.
Drink recipes sounds great. We definitely need drink recipes. Please send us drink recipes at BuzzBinging@gmail.com. And we're having things to drink. What are you having to drink, Natalie?
Kahlua and milk.
Creative.
Yeah.
I did try to get creative with mine, and I am having a bourbon raspberry sour. Mine has double oaked Woodford Reserve bourbon. I happen to really love the double oaked. It's a little smoother and more chocolatey. It has Chambord, and I followed the recipe. It calls for lemon, which it called for a little too much lemon juice, in my opinion, and chocolate bitters. And I think tweaking this, I would probably have maybe less lemon or not make it sour at all and use maybe raspberry puree and
not raspberry syrup.
Well, yeah, raspberry syrup, whatever. Yeah, use raspberry syrup and make it kind of like a chocolate raspberry truffle kind of thing. I think it would be tasty.
It would be interesting.
It could.
Before we get into this episode, I would just like to say, obviously, I'm doing this a little prematurely. We just watched the episode. And we also just talked about the last episode. And I mentioned at the end of the last episode that I really wanted some forward momentum in the plot. I will just have to say, in this episode, it could have been combined with the last episode, and it wouldn't have made a damn bit of difference to me.
And right, I agree.
I think it's funny to me that they did 9 episodes, controversially, last season. I say controversially, it's just abnormal that that's the number.
It's like, an odd number, oh no!
Well, I feel like people tend to...
you know why they did this. It's Keir's lucky number, I'm sure.
Okay. I feel like it's interesting that usually, like, a limited series or shortened season would be, like, a 6-episode season or an 8-episode season or max 10. But for whatever reason, they stopped at 9 last season, which is fine. It didn't really need any extra episodes, in my opinion. Or not that I recall. But, as far as this season's concerned, I can think specifically of an episode that I know is coming up sooner rather than later that I think could have been cut or shortened or whatever, and is just pretty superfluous in my opinion, but we'll get to it eventually. But this one, I feel, could have also been combined with the last episode. And just like kind of, I feel like they had to spread out the information in this.
Yeah, there are long section. Stretches that are just music or intercut or whatever. And you know, I always get frustrated with montages. I feel like there are more in this second season than we saw in the first season, although there are several in the first season. The first season, it's atmospheric. We've already got a sense of the atmosphere at this point. So it's kind of like, okay, I don't know how many times we're going to need to do this. It's kind of like, you know, how Peaky Blinders would get into the like thing of having slow-mo. It's like, okay, I know that's your thing, but you don't need to do it every single freaking time.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I feel like
it's more the information
could have been tightened up.
Yeah. It's more the information that we learn. It's more like, we had that whole thing last episode about like big confrontation. Oh, Hallie and Mark are finally talking about like what's going on in the whole Helena Egan thing. He doesn't mention the sex though. Very beginning of this episode, he talks about the sex. It's like, okay, so we didn't. Okay,
it wasn't
we
could really have attention.
No, it wasn't at all. Even though they tried to make it one with Milchick threatening him with it for no reason somehow. And so I'm just like, I don't know what he's
Well,
supposed to do
I
with that
think the idea
information.
is that maybe it prompted Mark to actually say something to Helly, like to it's a preemptive strike kind of thing. But I do think from what we have seen of Mark, he's not someone who keeps secrets really from Helly, and
No.
so I don't see him having kept that for very long.
It's funny because it made me think of my own work environment, current work environment. I'm now going to be moving jobs. Yay me. But I, not because of the people there, not because of my coworkers, but it's funny because I get the impression that my boss doesn't think me and my coworkers like talk to each other when that is all we do. And so it's funny that like she can like try to like give information to one of us, but not all of us, even though like we all have very good communication. And so
It's kind of the
it kind
same
of
thing.
reminds me of that, of like, okay, well, I have this information that you haven't told Helly yet. And it's just like, okay, then I'll tell Helly. It's like,
Yeah, exactly. I mean that the answer is to tell the truth. So,
yeah.
and that is nearly always the answer. I think we have covered this on this podcast before, but it's worth reiterating. We strongly recommend telling the truth. All those communication problems in every Bridgerton or Bridgerton adjacent book could be solved by just telling people the truth. It's a thing.
So Mark recounts what he saw to Gobby, the
The
doctor.
doctor.
Yes.
He's clearly very upset by what he's seen, though.
Can you blame him?
Well, I mean, it's so interesting to me that the environment is as intimidating to him as seeing Gemma not recognize him.
Yeah.
So, like, he talks about it's all white and like
It's like a
it's
night.
so creepy, like a nightmare. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just he's not used to it. And Mark is scared for her. He tells Gavi that he feels like he's in bargaining, which is a stage of grief, and thinking about what he'd do to get her back. And now he actually has the chance to potentially get her back. And now he's like thinking about what would I do?
Yeah, what am I willing to
What can
do?
I do?
And he's like, I might actually get to be in that position, which is really interesting for
Yeah.
him.
I really love if I haven't made it clear enough, my favorite storyline in all of Severance is Mark and his wife, and that
Yeah.
whole thing of like what a mind fuck it is to have his wife's like fake death and then her being in Lumen, and the mind fuck of like, oh, I spent a whole year grieving, but now I might get my wife back, but maybe I won't. I don't know if they've already like hurt her, tortured her, whatever. So who's to say? But it was mentioned also in this conversation by Gabi that she's essential somehow. We don't
To
know why.
whatever. If
Don't
we
know how.
start assuming, or we have been assuming based on the tiny bits of information we have about it, that she's part of Cold Harbor,
Yeah, whatever the fuck that is.
whatever Cold Harbor is, she is part of it.
Yeah.
So we then switch over to work and innings. And Dylan is telling the others about Irving's drawing that he found behind the Hang in There poster. And they're like, well, maybe we should look at it. Maybe we should do whatever. And Dylan's like, but you don't know everything. I'm like, well, tell us. And he won't. So, of course, what he is withholding, we all know, is that he gets to have visits with his wife. Mart, meanwhile, glitches into his house. Like he's going to the refrigerator to get a snack with whatever token or something. And he glitches into his house and is nearly identical to the setup that you see in the office. It's a little creepy.
Well, except it's beer.
Yeah, Milchick is talking to the child.
What we get from this is she can't graduate from her fellowship at Lumen before,
Milchick signs off.
yeah, before then, to see if she's winter tide material.
Whatever the fuck that means.
I'm assuming it's like a school
Or
or
part of Cold
another,
Harbor, who
or
knows?
yeah, or another fucking Lumen bullshit
It's
thing.
all Lumen bullshit. Come on. But this is basically the interaction. Like she's like really excited by the idea that Milchick's performance review went badly, and he's like, yeah, but I can hold things against you too. it's kind of childish.
He'll be out the rest of the day, so she's in charge of the floor. But you stay at your own desk. Helly and Mark talk about Melchick's threat, and he's like, "Yeah, I had sex with Helena Egan. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I thought it was you. I if since it just proves that's what I wanted to do with you. And she's like completely freaking out, which fair internally. And
Initially is so crazy. It's like we shared vessels. Like I wouldn't know what
if a
the
man
fuck that meant
ever,
either.
if a man ever said that to me, I would.
She also assumes like he's talking about like at wellness with Miss Casey, like with Gemma. Like he had sex with Miss Casey, and he's like, no, with the, we're not you or whatever that was.
Her outie. Anyway, she's freaking out, so she takes a walk. Milchick has to practice as his atonement, practicing using paper clips.
I'm sorry, I've been putting paper clips wrong, I'm sure, all the fucking time. I don't
I
care.
don't fucking care. Dylan and Gretchen, his wife, his outie's wife, talk about how he's gone through a lot of phases with hobbies, and he's spent quite a bit of money doing that. And it's clearly a sore spot for Gretchen because she doesn't appreciate the fact that, like, she understands that he's trying to find himself in a way, but she also is like, it's a lot of money, and that's finances in general are a big burden on her.
Right, but she also points out, like, I don't feel like you're happy. And Dylan's like, I'm happy right now. I'm happy just looking at you, thinking about our kids. You know, I've got to be happy when I'm with you because I get to be with you all the time, right? And she's kind of, you know, clearly having an emotional response to him. And I want to kind of point this out too. Like, Helena Egan keeps referring to innies as animals. And some part of me is like, you know, is it possible that they've in this Lumen lifestyle tried so very hard to get rid of their id, you know, like that tiny bit of impulsiveness or animalistic, you can call it whatever you want to. You know, that bit of it that also makes them great workers, by the way, that they've tried to excise in their outie universe with all of their societal and corporate shit, and they're trying to beat it out of the animals downstairs in the severed floors. I don't know. It's an interesting psychological question to me. I didn't delve too deeply into it, and you can tell from the discussion we're having right now. But it's
The
just
number
a
of
thought.
times I've just gone off on like a random thought and then
Yeah.
just like roundabout didn't get, honestly, that was more succinct than any of mine. But yeah, Dylan and Gretchen kiss, and it's clear that Gretchen, it, given the circumstances, should feel the most guilty about it. Dylan's just happy he got a kiss, but.
Well, right. She's like, can we hug? I liked the hugging thing from the last time. And then they kiss because she's feeling it. And that I want to talk about that in the context they when they encounter each other's outies too.
Yeah, in general, I think with, yeah, we'll just cover that now. He's talking about potentially getting a new car.
Yeah, as outies, we get a glimpse of their home life. And that's what he's talking about. Spending more money.
And she's just like, please don't, please don't spend more money. And he's like, fine, I'll just test drive. And she's just like, thanks. I thank you so much for not spending more of our money.
And what he says is like, oh, didn't you have something at Lumen? You know, had the meeting go today?
She was like, it was canceled.
Yeah.
And does not
So
tell him about it. Like, honestly, you didn't
she's
even have to.
hiding it, and it's very strange.
Yes, I can understand her feeling kind of weird about it. It's like it feels like two different people, but it's not. But he might see it that way. I understand why she's kind of like sneaking around that. But I also think, first of all, honesty is the best policy, and complete transparency is good. I especially with romantic partners, with children and a whole life built together. Like, I think that that is full transparency is very important.
Yes.
I mean, if they were just dating, it would be one thing, but you know, it's this is
You're
your
married
life
with
partner,
children.
and
Yes.
so you should just tell him. But also, like, it's the fact that she also said, oh no, I didn't see him at all. It's like, you could have just said that you had a meeting with him and it went fine.
Yeah, exactly. I
It
mean,
was
he would have
weird.
taken that as an answer. And I think that the fact that she's hiding it all together shows how emotionally attached she's becoming.
This is not the first time she's gone there, obviously, so it's kind of like, I don't understand why she feels like she had to say that it was canceled.
Oh no, wait, I kissed you. Like, it's cheating in a way. And so it's an
And I
interesting
can
question.
understand that mentality of like, if like weirdness there, but again, full transparency is always the best. Helly is getting really angry at her outie. She remembers the kiss with Mark and how she felt, and so and Mark is thinking about
The
it,
kiss as well.
not that kiss, but thinking about Helena Egan and having sex with him, and he's feeling weird about it. And they meet in the middle, him and Helly do, and Helly accepts Mark's apology about it. She's angry that she was used and controlled by her outie, and she always feels like she's being controlled by her. She wants her own memory of having sex with Mark, and so they go to the abandoned office space and they have sex.
Yay.
And it clearly means a lot to both of them, at least for like what it represents of like unleashing her like inner power, or like what, not her inner power, but like
Her
inner
innie power.
control,
Her
her control over her own body, I think, is what she really wanted. And so, not that she doesn't love Mark, like Mark a lot, but I think really she wanted just to exert control in that moment. And he was like, yeah, I want to have sex again. And
You're
again,
hot.
they both, they do like each other. So it's like they've been through a lot. They like each other. They wanted to have sex and they had sex, which is fine. It's just it.
It's cheaper. I agree. And it feels.
Not compared to like Helena Egan. That was really fucked.
That was really fucked, and she was using everybody. But in the moment when we're looking at it, it's like, well, it looks like it's something meaningful between Mark and Helly in that moment.
Mark thinks it's being
Mark
meaningful.
thinks it is. And now it seems like he's just having sex to have sex. It feels like,
And
maybe.
I mean, it's clear that she,
And
like,
in
they.
the act, he actually flashes to having sex with Gemma as well.
That's later.
Or is it later? I'm sorry.
But yeah, that does happen eventually. But Helly, that he no, that happened.
No, this happens in this episode
I
too.
know it happens in this episode too, but it also happened with Helena.
Yes.
Regardless, they're walking back to the office, and Helly asks, "Hey, was it different with me?" And he just kisses her in response, which is a good, it's a good answer. And Mark gets a nosebleed, and so they go to Miss Wong. Reintegration stuff happens, and Mark is trying to remember stuff from the office. He's back at his house in the basement with Gabi. Gabi says there is a potential way to flood the chip and speed up the process, but he freaks the fuck out because there's potential for hemorrhage and it's a whole thing. It's
Well,
like, ah, I don't
he's
want to do
also
it.
like hungry and had a bad day and shit. So he wants to go eat, and he leaves. So we then switch over to Irving at Burt and Fields'
We'll
house.
streamline this.
Yeah, it's really not that meaningful. You'd think it would be because the title of the episode is Attila, and there's some sort of joke between Burt and Fields that Burt's nickname should be Attila
Well,
for no
because
good
they
reason.
say they called each other hun for this longest time instead of honey or whatever, and then they just decided, no, Attila the hun. Anyway.
It's really not that cute.
One Fields is kind of passive aggressive throughout this dinner. He's
And
trying to
then
be
he
a good
becomes
host.
aggressive aggressive.
Well, first he goes, "What's mine is yours," which is very funny.
And the whole time, like, Irving's kind of like, hi, I'm just here.
Apparently, Fields is very he's Lutheran, and so is Bert. Well, converted, I think. And the reason Bert started at Lumen supposedly is because he was afraid he wasn't going to get into heaven, or I think Fields was, and so he kind of pressured Bert into making some changes in his life.
Right, because their Lutheran pastor said that innies have souls that can go to heaven, like they're separate souls, which makes no sense.
Doesn't no, not at all.
But that's what they have been led to believe or believed early on, and that's why Bert went to work for Lumen. Now, Fields also says some things like, oh, you were there 12 years or 20 years ago, or something along those lines. And we learn later in the episode that Fields has maybe a form of dementia. Like he doesn't remember things exactly accurately. And so it is part of Bert's job to kind of humor him a little bit.
But it's also kind of implied there is potential that Bert's lying because he's always looking a little sketchy.
I mean,
And
his
it's just like, oh,
physical walk-in may be a little
you're
sketchy.
clearly misremembering Fields. I started there 8 years ago. And that was a part of the retirement party, but that could have just been 8 years on the severed floor.
Maybe, maybe
Potentially.
not.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't remember the whole 20 years issue, but
Right,
it's
at the
potential.
end, as Irving's leaving, that is something that Bert says to Irving is like, oh, he says that I've been there 20 years, and that's not even possible because Severance didn't exist all the way back then. It's like there's something sketchy about this timeline and the conversations that they're having.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Lumen executive beard guy goes to Irv's apartment and finds all the documents about Lumen and is just like,
But we don't know what happens with any of that.
No clue. Anyway, because this is not the episode for answers.
No.
Anyway, Mark's outies at a Chinese restaurant and Helena Egan shows up and talks to him.
Bet.
She's
Sorry.
trying to flirt with him and talk about work and overtime stuff. She gets Gemma's name wrong and talks about her death, which pisses him off. And so he runs back to the apartment, or sorry, to the house. And he's just like, I'm sorry I was a dick before. Let's do it. Flood the
Yeah.
chip.
Yeah, that's what he says to the doctor. So I want to just make a note of Helena seems to be doing exactly what Supervisor Lady did, which is like she's testing Mark's outie's memory just to see if the severance is holding. Like, does he recognize me? Does he know what I'm talking about? And she starts going along with some of the things that he says. She's really terrible at it, but so was a Supervisor Lady. Like, oh yeah, I'm just talking about that overtime event, whatever. I'm not talking about like the weekend where we had sex. It's kind of disturbing that she is just as bad as Cobell.
Yeah,
So I just wanted to point that
I mean,
out.
she always gave me that impression as soon as she saw the footage of Helly and Mark kissing
Yeah.
that she was going to become obsessed with this idea of like, well, maybe he could like both of us or like this weird
Yes. Well, right, let's
psychosexual
stop and reverse and stop and reverse and
weirdness.
let's watch that again.
It's just bizarre.
Yeah, and again, there's just and the focus being on Mark is just so creepy.
Yeah.
I like the
Anyway,
Adam Scott
we see
baby.
Gabi get to the hole in his head and inject something in there to flood the chip. He starts remembering having sex with Helly,
Yikes.
which is crazy for him who has just seen her doppelganger out in the outside world as Helena Egan and is just like, what the fuck am I doing down there? There's a knock on the door. He's not supposed to be moving all that much, but it's Devin, and so he's just like, oh, I can't avoid her. So he goes upstairs and he kind of starts fighting with Devin because he's just like, well, I can't tell you exactly what's going on.
Right, because De Devin's upset about Lumen. She's and about her husband like conforming to the Lumen verse. And so she's wanting to do something. Like she feels like Mark is her only avenue to really do something about what Lumen's actually doing in on the severed floors. And so because her husband's giving up. And so she wants to help him. And of course that's something we'd seen earlier is like, oh, you need to like do the light thing and memorize stuff or whatever. And he's been saying along that it's not really working. He had mentioned he's doing something else, or he mentions it in this conversation. She's like, well, what else? He's like, I don't want to talk about it. Go away. I don't feel good. Go away. And he
He's
passes
like
out.
sweating like crazy. He more than passes out. He fucking like goes rabid. He has foam coming out of his mouth and
He's
he's
having
having a
a seizure.
seizure. Anyway, Irv.
And of course, the doctor comes up and comes through the door, and Devin's like, what the fuck? Who are you?
So, but we don't end on that. We end on
No.
Irv being like, let's get dinner again sometime. And
Yeah,
Bert looking a little bit like, yes. But
yes, in a
also like
creepy
kind of
way.
creepy.
Yes, exactly. Like, was he actually severed? It's really kind of hard to tell. I'm not so sure. But yeah, so what were your best parts of this episode?
Adam Scott, I think that especially his performance at the very beginning of the episode, whenever it's about Gemma, it always hits. And I don't know why. I also just really care about Gemma and
Yeah,
I
me
really feel
too.
bad for her. And I
I
really want her
do
to get some help.
too.
And I really
the damsel in distress here, in case anyone's wondering.
She is, but there's clearly so much more to her. And what I like about her is that you hear more about like how she impacts other people's lives. And
Yeah, she's still a bit of a mystery, and we like
yeah, I
her.
like that. I like the mystery, and I want to learn more about the mysterious woman. And it, like she's the only one we haven't really explored all that much. And so I'm pretty sure next episode is where we get to dive a little bit deeper, and I'm so excited. I remember really liking that.
Yeah,
But
it's interesting.
I find it interesting, but I also find it heartbreaking. Anyway, but
My
yeah, his performance.
memory takeaway is the fuck. So yeah, okay.
Hopefully I'll pick more of that out. Anyway, Helly reclaiming her identity. I appreciate that she is just like, all right, yeah, you have those memories. Helena Egan has those memories. I want memories of my own. I'm taking back control of my body. Fuck you. And fuck me. And I also like the spark still being there with Irv and Bert. Like clearly they still have like a little something. So it can transcend it.
Separate.
What I find so funny is that we see two versions of that. We see the Bert Nerve version, and then we also see the Helena and Mark version, where
Well, and we
Helena,
also see the Gemma and Mark version.
well, yeah, I mean in this episode, but in general, we see like both of them approach each other outs in as outies in the outside world and see how they interact. And obviously the spark is still kind of there for Bert and Irv, even though like Bert does still have a partner and all that stuff, but clearly they still have something there. Meanwhile, we've got Mark, who's just weird. They have a kind of a flirty back and forth, like
They do.
from her,
It's better.
mostly, but he does respond like just get, with the repartee, just like talking. But he, as soon as she brings up Gemma, he completely shuts down and it's just like, nope.
You
I
have
remember that
crossed
you're a
my
fucking asshole.
imaginary line.
You crossed my line and you are talking about my fake dead wife who I know you fucking kidnapped. So we're gonna put a pin in whatever the fuck this is.
And I'm
I'm gonna go
leaving.
leave and I'm going to
Bye.
flood my fucking ship that you put in there to control my mind.
Fucking bitch. Sorry. Anything else in the
That's all I
best parts?
wrote down.
All right. Mark, of course, is the best part. I think that, M. Scott's performance is great. I do think the character is developed somewhat in this episode. I like that he goes for reintegration. He go, Mark. I like Dylan's innie and his wife, not his outie and his wife, but I like their interaction. And I like, again, that idea of, him in his most basic form still loves his wife and is just enchanted by her. And that's very sweet. The sex with Helly is a best part and a worst part to me. I agree with you. I like the idea of the innie kind of taking, kind of trying to wash off the taint of her outie, but the Mark cheating on his wife, which he clearly
I mean, he
knows,
also
and
already did.
he already did, but like now you're doing it. Like, I was like, I don't know.
It's
it
hard.
feels worse.
It really, it's such a hard thing to wrap your head around, and it will not be let up on at all the rest of the season.
No.
This idea of like they are two separate people with two separate love lives, and it's messy,
It is messy,
but it's
indeed.
also doesn't discount either of them, even though technically him and Gemma have been together longer, and that went on like normal people.
Yep. So, what were your worst parts?
Milchick's punishment.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking crazy. Helena, because there was another part of it that we didn't mention where he
What
has to
is
look in the mirror and downgrade his vocabulary.
downgrade his affirmations. Like he has to say that to say the same things to himself.
Yeah. Helena Egan, what a creep. Stop acting like Cobell. Poor Fields. I do feel bad for him because he's just like, I think I can find a way with the help of my pastor to figure out like a way to be okay with the fact that you might have had unprotected sex
Yeah, like
in
I
the
could
workplace.
die.
It's just like, okay, man, sure. Anyway, weird shit with Bert potentially working for Lumen 20 years ago. I mean, it's possible, but it also begs the question of like what exactly happened there and why he went to the severed floor in the first place. He never really answered why he went to the severed floor. He answered why he started at Lumen, or at least supposedly why, but we still don't know why he felt the need to be severed or if he was forced. And could have been combined with the last episode. I think that a lot of the stuff could have easily from last episode could have been like the first half of an episode, and this could have been the second half of that episode. And I do think I did like the ending of last episode with the Miss Casey affirmations or whatever, leading to him seeing her for the first time and all that stuff as Miss Casey. But at the same time, I feel like that could have been a good midpoint for this for an episode, and then moved on and ended with him having the seizure and all that stuff. And I obviously you couldn't have kept everything from both. I think the milkshake thing could have been trimmed so much, because I as it just shows that Lumen sucks, and we already know that. So I don't really feel the need to see that in more ways than we already have seen. Or at least not that aspect of it, like the higher up stuff. I want to see what the fuck is happening with Cold Harbor and what's going on there. And the more we lollygag on other shit, like your performance review, which is monthly, which is kind of crazy.
6 fucking hours of it.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know. It felt like it dragged a little bit, but again, it's not like I don't like some of the content in here. It's more just I feel like it could have been streamlined.
Yeah, I agree. The pacing is off, and that is also a worst part that I did not write down. Anything else to mean to interrupt?
No, I don't have anything else.
The sex of Hallie, I do. I feel like that kind of betrayal of the Mark Outie that we really care about is problematic for me, and even the Mark Innie that we care about. Like I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. It's just weird. Bert and Fields, I think their relationship is actually pretty dreadful. And of course, it does reveal that there's something weird going on with Bert, maybe, and it's disturbing. The child, hate her. I mean, I really do. I absolutely hate her. And Milchick, hate him. Helena Egan, fuck you, bitch. Literally and figuratively.
Calling Gemma Hannah was a
Oh.
crazy move.
Well, yeah, that was not your best choice. So what grade did you give this episode?
B.
I gave it a B initially, and then and the more we've talked about it,
Might be
it's
a
a
B
B minus. It's
minus.
a B minus.
Because
It's just
I
not that good. I mean, it's really not that good as an episode. I like that reintegration, that motivation to be reintegrated and Mark acting on it, but we didn't need all of this other shit. And I don't think we needed nearly as much of really anything we saw in this episode, especially this Bert and Fields dinner party went on way too fucking long. So yeah, I feel like the pacing's off, and I don't know that they're gonna get it back because I don't remember all the details of the upcoming episodes. I do know I want to know more about Gemma and Cold Harbor. So we are hoping to know more about Gemma and Cold Harbor in upcoming episodes. We hope that you join us, and cheers.
Cheers.